We noted yesterday that we are in National Bible Week. Naturally, that strikes us today because today we're celebrating the feast of the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle, and he personally wrote a very large part of the New Testament. So this is National Bible Week, and we can thank St. Paul for writing a lot of the Bible. In fact, I think he's written more in the Bible than any other single human author. On Sunday, when Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah about his mission, he spoke about preaching good news to the poor and liberty to captives and bringing or giving sight to the blind. That comes back to mind when we read about St. Paul's encounter with the Lord on the way to Damascus, because he was struck blind. For 3 days he couldn't see. Jesus says he has come to give sight to the blind, but when it came to Saul, he gave him blindness. Why is this? Because Saul was already blind. He was already blind, but he didn't know it. He was blinded by his own self-righteousness and his own excessive zeal. So he had to be blinded in order to see that he couldn't see. And then when he was healed through the intercession of Ananias, then he could really see. So you see what happens when the Lord comes to give us sight. Sometimes he has to reveal to us that we're blind. The pattern that we see throughout the scriptures, the bringing down of the proud, the knocking down the lofty, so that the Lord can lift up the lowly. Saul, on the road to Damascus, was knocked down. The tradition is that he was knocked off his horse, although it doesn't say that in the reading, but he was certainly knocked to the ground. He fell to the ground so that the Lord could lift him up. So that's what we're celebrating today, the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. Let me read to you this little description from the Ordo. This feast commemorates the conversion of Saul of Tarsus from being a persecutor of Christians to an apostle of Christ. Is one of the most touching miracles in the history of the early church. It shows us how faith comes from grace and from one's free cooperation. The doctrine of the mystical body of Christ receives proof and a clear illustration when Christ says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" We should realize that the best way to hasten the unity of that body is to foster our own daily conversion. The Ordo continues by saying that today the World Week of Prayer for Christian Unity ends. Probably nobody knew that we were in the World Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. I don't think it gets any attention here in the Philippines. It's all about the ecumenical movement, which is not very well-founded here. So we're in the National Bible Week, but the Universal Church is just finishing the week of Prayer for Christian Unity. One last thought comes from the Ordo here. This is specific to the Diocese of Parañaque. Today is the anniversary of the dedication of our cathedral, the St. Andrew Cathedral. So that's considered a feast in a diocese, the anniversary of the cathedral, but because St. Andrew's was a church for about 400 years before it became a cathedral, we don't usually think about it that way. It's the oldest church in the diocese, St. Andrew's. Okay, now I'd like to just pick out two thoughts in relation to this feast. It's a unique feast because it's a feast of a saint, but not the death anniversary, but the moment of conversion. I can't think of any other feast day like this. Even when we celebrate, for example, St. Matthew and we focus on his call from being a tax collector to being an apostle. It's something like this, but we don't call it the conversion of St. Matthew. It's just Feast of St. Matthew. In some communities or local traditions, different moments in saints' lives are sometimes commemorated. For example, I think the Franciscans celebrate the day when St. Francis received the stigmata. I can't remember what that day is, but it's not on his regular feast day. Or the missionaries of charity commemorate the date when Mother Teresa received her call when she was on the train. You know that story of her call within the call. I can't remember that date either, but it's not on the calendar. But I think the missionaries of charity commemorate that moment of a new beginning for their foundress, Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. So that's something like what this is. This is a celebration of a moment in the life of St. Paul, but it's an opportunity for us to reflect on more than just that day on the road to Damascus. So I want to mention two things. One is a little reflection on the personal journey of conversion, and then secondly, on the communal dimensions of conversion. What do I mean by the personal journey of conversion? Well, I think many times when we think of conversion, we think of the conversion of particular people that we have read about or that we know, like Paul. So there's a person who experienced this dramatic change. And we might even be praying for that grace for people. Wouldn't it be great if so-and-so were converted, or President so-and-so, or a prominent figure in the society, so-and-so, were converted? Or very often we're praying for our own loved ones, our children, or brothers and sisters, to say, well, Lord, grant the grace of conversion to this person whom I love. But, and that's very good, and we should be praying for conversion, but we remember on this feast day that conversion starts two steps earlier than that. Before we think about the conversion of so-and-so, we reflect on our own conversion. And before we can reflect on our own conversion, we have to go back to God himself, because the grace of conversion comes from God. God is the one who knocked Paul down, Saul down. He didn't do it to himself. He wasn't even looking for it. He was going about his mission, and God intervened. So conversion starts with God. That's the main thing. God is the one who draws all people to himself in his own unique ways, in his own time, and we don't know when or how he's going to enter into anybody's life. So when we pray for the conversion of our loved ones, we're just opening the window, opening the door for God to do it the way he wants to do it. We might not see it or know how he does it, but we know grace of conversion comes from God. Then we reflect on our own journey of conversion with the awareness that it's not just one moment of being knocked down and getting up. It's a whole lifetime journey. We could say it's a series of conversions or a continuous conversion. That's perhaps a better way to think of it. St. Paul, after his conversion, well, he continued the journey of following the Lord whom he met. That's true of every one of us. And it implies, the conversion implies mission. That if we change our direction from doing whatever else to do what God wants, well, then we're being sent out into the world. And that's why today's gospel is the commission that Jesus gave to the 11 after the resurrection, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. That commission is entrusted to every one of us who has experienced the grace of conversion. Every one of us who's baptized is sent into the whole world to proclaim the gospel. Okay, so that's a little reflection on this personal dimension of conversion. Now we'd like to also reflect on what I call the communal dimension. And the reason why this comes to mind is because in the story of Saul, Ananias actually has a bigger role in the story than Saul does. And this tells us that no conversion is independent of everybody else. There's no, even though it's God who grants the grace to an individual person in his own time and at particular moments, it's always in the context of the church. So we look at Saul. He's blind. He's led by hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he's there, unable to see. He's not eating or drinking. And God doesn't appear to him again from heaven or call out a voice from the clouds, a flash of light. He doesn't do it that way again. Instead, he speaks to Ananias. Ananias, go to Straight Street and lay your hands on this man, Saul of Tarsus. So Saul is chosen as a chosen instrument of God, but so is Ananias. And this is important to realize that both for our own journey and for the journey of anyone else for whom we pray, there are a lot of people involved, and we might not even know who they are. We know who baptized Saul, it was Ananias. We don't know who baptized most of our friends and relatives. I mean, whoever the parish priest happened to be that day. We don't know who introduced the faith to people. Probably parents, catechists, teachers, friends, grandparents, a whole array of people who were part of the conversion journey. So Ananias has this very distinctive role at the beginning of Saul's journey, but then throughout his ministry, St. Paul is always traveling with people, talking to people, has companions, and one of the most prominent figures in Paul's life is Barnabas. Remember, my whole point here is the communal dimension of conversion. Remember, Paul, on his own, he couldn't get anywhere in his ministry because nobody trusted him. The Christians didn't trust him because he was a persecutor, and the enemies of the church didn't trust him because he was preaching the gospel. So he had like no one on his side until Barnabas went to Tarsus, or he went to Damascus. Where did he go? Where did Saul go? I think he went back to Tarsus. Anyway, I can't remember. But Barnabas went and looked for him. Oh no, yeah, he went from Antioch to Damascus. And he got him and he said, "Now come here and join us. Get involved in the community of faith." When Paul went to Jerusalem and nobody was willing to spend any time with him, Barnabas is the one who spoke up for him and said, "No, this man has had an authentic conversion." So this just tells us that no one's conversion is alone, individual. It's not just me and God, or him and God, or her and God. It's me in the context of a whole community journeying in faith, and it's you in the context of a whole community journeying in faith. And we need all sorts of people to support us in the journey of conversion, and we are a small part in the journey of many other people. So that's how God has decided to work. Even though he does speak to each one of us individually, he gives us grace of conversion. He can even give us dramatic moments of conversion, but he also works through countless instruments to draw us to himself.